back with the original, the one and only
Black and a Half podcast.
That's right.
Here we are.
Except no substitutes, baby.
Welcome to episode number 45.
45.
45. It's not like we just started like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've been doing this a while.
That's right. At the top of the Google
list.
Got
the website.
Yeah.
The website, the domain.
Yeah,
the Twitter. Always got to check that domain before you name
create
the podcast.
Something. That's right.
What? That's why we just go to our site. I just say, check out blackandhalf.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go to iTunes, but I don't put it up on like something cheap like
I'm saying.
SoundCloud.
Right.
I don't even know what that is.
We may not be woke, but we're
You're not the wokest.
Are we awake?
You know what? I was
I
taught at village,
I didn't take a nap.
I taught at kids stage village theater this week.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was good, like a bunch of 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, but I was saying, and then apparently the high schoolers were very, there was another group that demonstrated the same time as us. They were like a teen group, and what they were talking about, like they would catch each other on like people, not just misgendering, but like, oh, how come you're assuming this? And I was like, you know what? This is the overwoke generation, right? It's an overwokeness.
Shit,
like
it's so exhausting.
You can't get through a... You can't get through a conversation without
take
like, well,
a goddamn
hold on.
Nap. Nap. For real.
That should be our t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Take a goddamn nap.
Yes, let's black make those. The black and a half t-shirts. Take a goddamn nap.
They do it every time they listen to our show. I'm Silas Livingstein.
I'm Manny Martin.
Yeah, we should have said that earlier on.
Yeah.
But today we, on episode number 45, we have the wonderful H.B. Radke. I call him musician extraordinaire. He's a screenwriter, a director, former director. He's kind of the Renaissance man.
Yeah, he's got just his hand in a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's right. That's right,
yeah,
ladies.
This guy is awesome.
Get him. He's shopping for wife number 12.
Yes.
So,
you don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah. We'll see. Check out our website. We'll have links to some of the stuff there.
Yep.
And, you know, give him some love. Download. He used to do this thing called a song a week, a brand new song every week.
That is impressive.
Yeah, like, especially when I was about to make fun of our friend Joe Greenhour, friend of the program, because he's done 4 years.
Right.
He's been doing 4 years, and I was like, oh, it feels like 20.
Shit.
That I've been here. But then I was like, he's like, yeah, that's because I met you when you had two less kids. And then that's true. And I was like, you know what? I had probably the same damn set, too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to write more. If H.B. Radke can do a song a week, I could at least try to come up with a new punchline.
Yeah, we should do a joke a week. Jay Hollingsworth had something.
He did that. Yeah. But I mean, I should at least go for one a month.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah,
at least the new joke a month that works, right?
New movie a year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll try to film a. You think
that's intense?
That is. That's a little.
I mean, Spielberg doesn't do a movie a year, does he? I don't think so.
Black and a Half Productions.
Yeah,
there you go.
I think I'm putting that on the new credits for the film that we did.
There you go.
Because me and you were the only ones who put money into it.
Yeah, right.
So
I bought a mouse.
It's gonna be a Black and a Half Productions presents. Oh no, Black and a Half presents a Black Door Collective production.
Oh.
So it's like at the top.
There you go. Did you ever hear of, I don't know if this was, it's my guy from the Hot Tub Time Machine, black guy.
Craig Robinson.
Yeah. Oh, so, you know, I work with Craig. I think
he calls him Craig.
Okay. So Craig, I feel like his company was Nigger Rich Productions. Have you ever seen this? It was crazy. Like,
was it?
I swear to God, I think it was. Yeah, it was entertaining.
Wait, but he had like a film company?
I think he did. Yeah, it was so crazy. I'm like, who comes up? But you know, hey.
He's from Seattle, right?
No, something? I don't think so.
Because Angela and Dave know him well. Like, he used to do comedy at like their, when they were at like a hotel room.
Wow, right?
Or maybe they might have been like.
He does a lot of randoms.
They get some people at the club. This is the last comedy
that you would
club.
Never expect.
Well, because that they believed in them early on, and so they'll come back.
Like Hannibal.
Hannibal. Doug Stanhope, I guess there was a story about how like he got booked in Seattle and didn't know he wasn't going to Laughs. He ended up going to like the Showbox.
Okay.
And so he made a thing happen because he's like, I kind of have a deal with them.
Yeah.
It was like Laughs Presents.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Something like he made them do, the people do that. they were explaining, like, sometimes you get such a, once you hit a certain number of pre-sales, the management company literally pulls you out of the club and circumvents you to the theater. They're like, oh, if they sell it this quick, they go to, we're sending them to a theater now.
Oh, shit.
Or like, to, we need a higher seat venue.
Damn, I didn't know
so
that.
That's why seat numbers are a huge deal,
right?
I guess, in a new club when it's opening. Like, oh, we'll never be able to get these certain people. Like, I know, I heard someone explain, they were explaining why, like, Russell Peters was a big deal to be a parlor, because they had a certain seat number that they would have to hit.
And he sold out every single.
Right. Yeah. But I think the Seattle one had a little more seats,
I think,
right?
It did.
Than the
other
one.
So it started.
Yeah, so that they could, they got to be able to afford the guy. Like, right. Because he's like, no, if you, because there's like a math number. I can do five shows and make this much money, or I can do one show and make this much money.
Right.
Is it going to be worth it to do the five at the club?
Exactly, when I could just get in and out. And
bonus it. You know, you get bonuses if you sell out usually. So.
Man.
But, yeah.
But anyways.
Complicated business. Anyway.
Yeah. We talk about a lot of cool stuff on this episode.
Yeah, we don't talk anything about money and people that aren't famous.
No.
I guess.
We talk about reffing and all kind of shit.
The creative stuff. The outlet, you're gonna get, you know, the, you're gonna get the inside scoop on the creative process that Black and Half is going through, and I think you're gonna enjoy this episode.
Yeah,
I say that every episode, but
yeah, that's true. But this
there
episode,
are episodes we just record and we never air them, like you know, like the one with who's someone I don't like. I'll just name him.
Abraham. No, I'm just
we did 12 with Abraham, but we've only been able to air one because I couldn't bleep out
enough
all
shit
material that he said.
Yeah.
No, we have. I feel very blessed that we get so many good people.
We really
we
do.
Happen to know a lot
we haven't
of people
had any bad
in town.
Ones.
Yeah.
What's this show brought to you by?
The show is brought to you by MoviePass.
Yes.
Disappointing disappointing everybody since 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
No, they're not really a sponsor. I can't say that. No. I don't want that stain on us.
Right.
Dude, they were worth $9,700 a share in the last year. They were last October.
You said now they're at 12 cents?
No, they're down to 7.5 cents
Holy
a share
shit.
As of Friday.
Wow.
I'm like, oh my God, some people lost so much money on this. Or didn't. They all got out at the right time.
Yeah, that's a good
I bought in last week at 17 cents, so I'm already in the hole. I was like, I'm going to buy seven. I bought seven. And then it dropped a little lower.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I barely any money in the Robinhood account that I have.
Right.
And so I was like, I had like 12 cents. I was like, it was down to like 10. And I was like, I'll buy one more to even it out, make it 8 shares.
You're right.
I'll see what happens. So I have like $1.45 invested in MoviePass right now. They can only go up. Or it's like, hey, I've spent more at the casino after a show. Like, let me just try.
Right.
$10, see if I can make something happen.
God, man.
So yeah, disappointment. MoviePass. You're so sad. You had such great possibilities.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed in you, MoviePass.
Yeah.
I promoted you.
You broke our hearts.
You broke my heart. You didn't have to go to $10.
Not at all.
You could have gone to 20 and I think you would have worked. You had more money.
Exactly. But anyways,
so
check us out at
check us out. Oh, yeah. Also actually if speaking of Robinhood, if you do have Robinhood, the app, it's a free app that you can trade, sell, and buy shares from your smartphone.
Wow.
If you use my invite to Robinhood, which I'll have in the link, both of us will get some free stock shares.
Yeah.
Could be from Facebook or Apple, and that's the ones they advertise, and there's a bunch of random other ones they'll give out. It's all random. So we don't know what, but if you want to try it out, there's no trading cost.
Okay.
When you can buy and sell a share, and there's no cost
to
it.
No shit.
Yeah, it's a really great service. So if you want to try that out, check out the link in the website.
Apple's not worth a trillion, so why not?
Also, check out SilasGetsReal.com if you're looking to buy or sell a home through... you can do that through SilasGetsReal.com. I'm with Skyline Properties. They're helping sponsor this by letting us use a room at the Skyline Studios, Skyline Properties Studios in Seattle, Washington, for the Black and a Half. So we're here for now.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's open up something bigger. You want to make a better deal? Come at me, bro. Come at me. But come by a house in Seattle. All right. So here we are, episode 45. H.B. Radke.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Gag.
I think so. I don't know. It could have been.
Smell-o-vision?
That movie's underrated.
What was that?
Weird Al, UHF.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
Welcome to Wheel of Fish. The prize is you get your weight in fish. Mackerel, very tasty fish. And it was Kramer's first big movie where he plays a janitor all about the power of his mop.
Oh, wow. I wonder. What was this?
Yeah, UHF. He basically gets to take over a UHF station from his uncle who wins it in a poker game.
Oh, here we go.
It's been like 30 years since I've
1989.
You've never seen it?
Mm-mm.
It's not a long time. I didn't realize Michael Richards?
Michael Richards is in that movie as the janitor. And then the guy who plays the heavy always plays a heavy. He always plays kind of a snooty. He's kind of like the evil Ted Knight.
Evil Ted? Well, I guess.
Ted Knight really wasn't evil in most of his roles.
Just racist?
Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah,
wait, Ted Knight. But
you're
that's
saying
that's
like
too
racism's
too
evil?
Close
is
for
that what
comfort. Well, depends.
I mean,
I guess as long as you use it for good. Like
oh, Fran Drescher was in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Love Fran Drescher.
And the Asian nerd.
Remember her? The nanny.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's much prettier when you just look at the picture.
Exactly.
And I haven't thought of her voice for a long time.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Oh, she's pretty cute.
Now she has a much more rich voice. Your ear than Mark Maron. Is this gonna tap against this thing? Should I have some slack? Can you give me some slack?
It's okay. It's behind the scenes action. You're back there. Hey, I just got back from.
Got a haircut.
Is it soccer?
Oh,
a haircut.
Yeah, you got a haircut. Looks like.
I guess I had one Sunday.
Okay. Oh, it was a tournament,
I'm
right?
I'm refereeing, these four games. Right by your house, actually.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Del Ridge Playground.
Just that's straight ghetto.
My daughter lived there.
Did
Del Ridge.
Oh, okay.
Right by that crepe place.
Oh, okay.
Like literally around the corner from there.
Man, just insulted your daughter.
No. She's living in Normandy Park now.
Oh, okay. There you go. No, great.
I was like doing this, and I was like, why do I always put myself in positions for people to hate me.
Oh.
Like the position that I choose.
Yeah.
Like refereeing, people can always just dislike you because you did the wrong call, whatever.
Yeah.
I choose to direct plays where someone gets mad because I don't cast them.
Yeah.
Book shows, you get mad because people don't book you. Like, I'm like, how come I can't just be one of the participants all the time? Like, I always have to take this
too easy
role.
You need the challenge of it. You're
it.
Too likable otherwise, so you want to just feel what the other half lives like.
I just feel like you have to kind of do your own thing now to succeed. You can't really. I mean, that's why I kind of sit in the corners and don't do shit. It's like,
Wait, so you're saying you don't succeed?
Not really.
Well, you get things, though.
I get things.
You don't make anyone mad.
Yeah, but
you're
it's
like
all
Switzerland.
Like,
you're a black Switzerland.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
you have all the Jewish gold.
I do, yeah, totally. I'm just like, let's
he
just
be cordial. Make.
Yeah, that's very true.
Nice.
I'm always just like, I think I'm afraid to step on toes sometimes, but sometimes I really, truly like think in my head I need to like cuss a few people out. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like you get rolled over a lot?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah.
I mean, besides your wife.
Yeah, of course. Like, I think that there's a. I need to learn the power of no, more so because it's like, people just you know
got the power of no. That's what me and Chris call you not returning our calls.
Yeah, what it becomes is like me just avoiding people and shit. You know what I mean? And it's not healthy. It's not like I'm just not gonna answer the phone and I'm gonna text you back like 3 weeks later. Oh, I forgot. So, but I mean, that's. But see, I mean, who's mad at you about the play?
The what?
You said somebody's mad about you not casting them in a play.
Oh, I'm just in the past.
In the past,
that's been the thing. Like, the role of the director, or there's always this competitiveness to who gets to direct this
Isn't that kind of the way of the world, though? People are always going to be mad that they weren't in something.
Maybe. I just always feel like, at least when you're acting, when you're an actor, look.
Yeah.
You can get mad at the director.
Right.
You can, maybe you can get mad. You're jealous that, oh, she shouldn't have got that part. It's only because she was blowing the director.
Yeah.
And you can say something. I just feel like I'm always picking these somewhat leadership roles.
Yeah.
That can put me in a negative light. Even though they can put you in a positive light. Because then everyone thinks like, oh, he's an award-winning director. Because he is. But he's also, he didn't put me in that.
Right.
Might I recommend the general life philosophy of not giving a fuck about what other people think.
There you go.
But sometimes it holds you back because here's the thing. This is what I'm sorry. My new thing with comics is, especially if they're bad, I'm trying to help them out a lot now.
Yeah.
Like as far as, if they want like a videotape. I'll video. I got my stuff. I'll record it for you.
Yeah.
Because these bad comics end up running rooms later.
Mm.
And they're the ones who I used to not book because I didn't book them because you're not good yet.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand it because they were getting bookings because other people couldn't say no.
You're right.
Or would get on whatever open mic. And so now they're running rooms and they won't book me because I didn't book them. I'm like, well, you suck.
Yeah.
And actually, you still do. But nobody will tell you because you book a room.
It's hard, man. Especially in Seattle. You know, it's all passive aggressive.
I'm sure it's everywhere like that.
Maybe not in Boston.
But if they're decent people. Yeah. If Boston want to fight.
Yeah.
So if they're nice people, if they're, you know, if they suck and they're trying, there's no skin off your nose to give them a little helping hand. It, you know, it just makes the world a generally better place.
Well, right.
That's your pay it forward moment.
You have maybe one slot a month that you can do that. If you have a professional show that you're trying to run,
right.
You know, because
I don't say book them. I'm saying if you're going to give them advice or help, you know.
No, but I'm saying they take it personal when you're booking. That's why I'm like, one reason I don't like booking anymore is because like, okay, because I gave people chances.
Yeah.
And some of them remember that. They're like, you're the first person that ever booked me, so I'm going to give you this. Because I was like, yeah, they're funny enough.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, I mean, because that is literally like everybody in comedy, like that starts comedy.
Yeah.
No, they're funny enough. I'll give them a 5-minute slot. And some people, and so if I wasn't giving you a slot, maybe you should give your, because I gave a lot of people that slot.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're not, maybe it's because you weren't good enough yet.
You have to just say, look, I gave you that first break. You sucked. And hey, don't take that personally. Everybody sucks.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to embrace bombing. But the bottom line comes to you, I need to have people in this place laughing or people in this place buying drinks. And if you're not bringing those people in, go out in the trenches, and when you can draw some people, and I'm not talking about a bringer party, but like you can draw some people,
but
come back and I'll happily.
But here's the thing: they will walk off stage and say to you, "Wow, I just killed it up there. You want to put me on the show?" And I'm like, "I don't know what show you were watching."
It's crazy. There is a disconnect between
and so it's better to just avoid them.
I've never had to deal with that, except for like I can think of two people. Musically, who had to deal with that, and luckily they're both dead. Seriously, they became heroin enthusiasts.
Wow.
And,
so when you're, I mean,
yeah, how
do you
would
think
you
it's different
that?
In music? Like, do you think there is a little more like, guy, this is obviously awful. Like, you can't hide it.
Sucks. Well, I've always been in position, and I'm really fortunate. My dad's a band leader. I grew up on the road on tour with my folks, and I started my band when I was a kid. So I've always had the luxury of hiring who I want.
Right.
And I always hire really good players. You know, I hire pros. And if they're not pros, they're super gifted, you know, not quite pros yet. But, you know, they show up at the gig. They know what's up.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to, you know, go through Music 101 with them. And it's – I've seen bands like – oh, we take every – we're a Democratic band. We do everything by vote and blah, blah, blah. And they suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
They suck out loud, you know, and
sometimes the moment I hear like people say like, oh, we want everyone to have a say, I'm like, oh, this is not gonna be good.
Yeah.
Someone needs to be taking charge.
My dad always said, yeah, if it's your band, you're the band leader, you make the decision, period. But I always listen to everyone's point of view, you know, to a point, but when the rubber hits the road, it's time to make a decision.
You gotta Picard it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Picard it, like, okay, I'm gonna listen to everybody. I'm gonna make the decision.
Number one, make it so.
But sometimes nice. Look at you. Someone did Shakespeare in the summers.
That's hard though. I mean,
Shakespeare.
Yeah. You know, it's like somebody's gotta step up and, you know, do their Shakespearean. I think, you know, I've never done a play.
You just realized that? Never done a live
Never
play.
Even like high school?
Never even in high school. I mean, I just like we did monologues and stuff and drama, but that was the extent of my.
Where'd you go to school? Or where'd you grow up?
California. So I went to Silicon Valley.
You do play. You got a have like Mitch Burrow?
Yeah, like right around there. So this place called Fremont. It was awful.
Huh. So. Well, my dad grew up in Oakland.
So oh, there you go. Okay.
Back when it was like something to say.
Yeah, seriously, man. Now
Mitch Burrow did To Kill a Mockingbird. That's what I heard. Here, like in Tacoma, like was he was driving like an hour and a half every day to
I remember
rehearsal.
I just remember like he made me. Off. Yeah, he had to read his lines when we were driving back from like Montana or something. It was crazy. That guy was. He was into it.
It's a good lesson.
It is. And, yeah, seriously.
I mean, it's different. It's very different than film.
Yeah, that's why I've always loved film. Like whenever we had to film something in drama, it was like, oh, we'll just reshoot that. And it didn't go well. Let's redo it. Unlike, you know, a play.
Play you
like,
got, well, we got tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. That's
the thing is, it's live, so you don't have to be as perfect.
Yeah,
it's the shared. Well, it's like doing stand up. From what I imagine doing stand up is like, it's experiential and it's in that moment. And
yeah.
And after that, it's something you shared with your crowd. And then after that, it's ethereal. It's gone. And
yeah.
Right.
That's that.
Do it. And on you the can, next show.
It's like the first time I had a milkshake at Johnny Rockets in LA. I came back to Seattle for 6 months. I was going, that was the best goddamn milkshake I've ever had. I went back to Johnny Rockets. I was like, fuck. You
know, so, disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's easy to idealize.
I didn't have an eclair for like 7 years after I went to Paris and had one.
Paris, Texas?
No.
Oh, Paris, France.
France.
Oh, the other
one. That way I could always say, you know, the last time I had a Claire, I was in Paris.
Man.
I wanted to say Hilton? That, and it was like, Paris Milton?
Hilton.
Hilton. Oh, you were inside, you were... Last time I was in Paris Hilton.
Well, I don't know what she's into. Yeah. People are into pastry stuff. That's cool.
But, like, I bet if I go back, I'm going to have one and be like, oh, this wasn't what I remember.
It's still going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The boulangeries are just, it's a cultural thing. Like they're apprentice bakers that, you know, they start up when they're 14 and, you know, we just don't have that mentality here.
Do you feel like people romanticized with like, you know, the past being more, I guess, more glorious than what it was?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like everybody's talking about how bad times are now. But
not that bad.
Yeah, that's like I was thinking. I mean, you know, it's bad, but it's like we didn't have like three people assassinated in front. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like
yes, civil rights. Yeah, absolutely, Robert Kennedy.
Well, no, I'm saying mean, like yeah. So I'm saying like right now, yeah. My in-laws were like talking to me like one time. They were like, we don't remember it being this bad. I was like, you guys had like Robert Kennedy, JFK, MLK.
As much gun violence is going on, and like I'm a Second Amendment guy, but
yeah,
I'm sorry. We need to figure out gun laws. Canada has it down. You can have a gun in Canada, mm-hmm. and they have 700% less gun deaths, and those are all suicides.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's like, well, but they're nicer, though.
So what do you guys think about this, the 3D printable?
That plastic thing. That's interesting.
Who cares? A gun is... People are going to get guns. They're going to do terrible things
with
them.
Doing this, that makes it so easy to...
I think the hoopla over it... I mean, you can... You can make a gun out of some tubing and a nail, honestly.
Well, right. But they were saying, I mean, one of the things they talked about was
the fact
because
that
now you can bypass security with these.
You know, you still need metal for firing pin. Ammunition's not going to be caseless and made out of synthetics. Going to be metal. You have to have brass to have the, you know, the...
You think it'll melt or something?
Well,
look
at the explosion. It's not going to, you know,
have as much of an impact.
I mean, there's... A round going off, that's a lot of energy, a lot of gas, a lot of heat being released.
I want to see one on YouTube, like, being shot.
Yeah, so I want to...
There's a guy who makes paper guns. Mm-hmm. Like, matter of fact, I think he's from Seattle or Tacoma.
Is that called origami?
The guy takes Elmer's glue and paper, and, like, layer by layer, makes these working models, and he put, like, the only thing in metal is, like, this little firing pin.
Yeah.
And you can fire, like, two rounds through it. Not a full load.
Yeah.
But it's... Fucking get out of paper.
Will it like? Wow. Does it actually pierce?
Yeah, no. It'll fire enough. I mean, it would definitely penetrate someone. Sure.
Oh wow, no shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
God, man.
Which it's just the mentality. It's
the
just
2018
the only
version
thing to
of
fight
MacGyver.
The only way to fight a bad guy with a paper gun is a good guy with a paper gun.
With an eraser.
Is a good guy with some scissors.
Look at MacGyver, man.
Rochambeau.
You could kill someone with his paper gun.
Did they ever redo MacGyver?
They did reboot it.
Never.
Different
is it,
network.
Is it still going? Yeah. I think it's still going.
Really?
Is it?
Maybe.
They made it through last season at least. Oh,
I don't think TSA would have it shut down because it gives people wrong idea. Well, I could just take a tampon and some mouthwash and make a bomb.
You know what I want to find out? Because there used to be a rumor about it that... That everything they did, like Blomb, they would leave out like one ingredient.
So much of their stuff was not plausible.
So, at all?
Yeah.
Someone told me like, oh no, all of it's real except they took out one ingredient, so nobody.
Fight Club did that. Fight Club, the author of Fight Club left out like the explosive making process. He like messed with that.
Oh, okay.
So because you can make bombs and soap out of the same base materials.
You can.
Yeah. Which is fun.
Oh yeah, like one isn't ammonia part of them?
Oh yeah, ammonia is a big part of it.
I mean, people just killed themselves accidentally just with ammonia. You killed yourself?
Almost.
Holy shit!
I was like, for once being a good kid. Like, yeah. My parents were gone. Like I was 7 or 8, and I was like, I'm gonna clean the kitchen. Chlorine.
Uh huh.
Some bleach.
Man.
Phosgene gas.
Wow. And
I was like, not good.
That's crazy. Yeah,
Took one whiff. I knew that was bad.
I remember I saw this movie one time, and you know how like. If you had HBO back in the day, there'd just be random mass movies on. There was this kid, it was like Home Alone, but this kid was like a science major or something. And he was like killing these bad guys with like, that same kind of bomb. I was like, this is nuts. So,
you know the name of it?
I don't remember. I'll have to look it up.
I think it was HBO though?
Toy Soldiers? Was it an HBO movie?
It wasn't. It was weird. Let me see if I'll type in.
Was it a nuclear bomb? Like the Manhattan Project?
No.
Or like the 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T? Remember what?
The 5,000.
Yeah, I think that was a Stanley Kramer film, and it had to do with like this kid had this kind of Calvin and Hobbesian sort of imagination, and there was this giant piano with 5,000 fingers of Dr. T. Yeah, all these kids were stuck playing because he hated going to piano lessons.
Right.
And supposedly there was this stuff that they put together. It was atomic. It was like an atomic explosive.
Okay.
And he ends up saving the day, and like his mom and dad get back together. Some crazy shit. But yeah, it was. And I remember the bomb looked like there used to be this stuff called heat, which was like, you know, for muscle sores and stuff, like a liniment. Yeah. But it came with like a little tube with a little sponge, like an actual like sea sponge on the bottom of it. And it smelled like Lifesavers, like Bengay kind of. But it was like basically it was just you giving yourself a mild chemical burn.
Oh, right.
That's that like Icy Hot. It's a chemical burn.
Oh, okay.
It's capsaicin or whatever the hell it is. Huh. Same stuff that's in pepper spray or in chili pepper.
Icy Hot is a chemical burn?
Yeah, yeah. Like if you use a whole bunch of it, like it'll eventually burn your skin. Like give you a first degree burn.
Oh, like wow. If you leave it on too long?
Yeah, yeah. Or if you use too much of it. Is that me?
I think it's me. Sorry.
Yeah, I better try.
What a pro. What a pro. Because but it's important. It's important because my wife just sent me a picture of my son.
Oh, let me see.
He fell asleep.
Nice.
As they were
on his stomach, which is a bit dangerous.
Why? It gives them abs of steel.
We could die.
We could all die.
It's SIDS. It's a thing.
Oh, okay. So they always have to be asleep on their back.
SIDS has to do with
they
got to
sleep on their back.
You know,
until they're at least one, but until they can actually push themselves over.
Oh, okay.
That's when that's when they say don't worry about it. Like, he's in a better place. Like if he was on the bed, not his bed, but our bed,
right?
That smother.
Yeah, but he looks like he's got some muscle.
Yeah.
But generally, you don't. Please, anyone listening to this, ignore it. Do not sleep your child on the stomach unless they have acid reflux. And the doctor said,
use cribs to increase the incidence of SIDS. There's science behind that.
Used cribs?
Yep. If you secondhand cribs, there's an increase in sudden baby death. Infant death. They don't know why.
I wonder
if it's like germs or something.
I don't know, but it freaked me the hell out when my daughter. See,
what if it's the second kid? You're using the same.
I don't know. I
wonder if it's like bought from somebody else or.
I don't know, but I'd never been around kids and babies and stuff when I had a daughter, and I was like, you know, I didn't know what breaks them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so like I put a nanny cam, a 24-hour nanny cam, in the nursery, so I didn't want to mess with their sleep cycle, but by the same token, I wanted to make sure that. Some shit went down because I'm an insomniac.
For real.
You know?
Oh, I got a video. The first kid didn't have a video, just had the, you know, monitor.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be listening and the whole night, like, I hope she's not dead.
And
sometimes, like, okay, because she's usually crying. So I need to go in and then you, like, open the door, sneak in, and she's asleep. And you wake her up. And then, son of a bitch. Right. And so now the video has been much more helpful, so I can just watch her crying.
Yeah. The camera, I was up like 2 in the morning writing some music, and I saw my daughter started aspirating. Like, if I hadn't gone in there, she probably would have died.
Oh,
wow. Which is why I'm an insomniac to this day.
Aspirating?
Throwing up.
Just throwing up?
Yep. And ever since then, I couldn't go to bed. I was married at the time, so when my wife would get up to go to work, I knew I could go to sleep then. For some reason, in a very weird OCD way, I was like, if the sun is up, she'll be fine. And I put my hand on her and sleep. And I knew I could get like 2 or 3 hours, but I still can't sleep.
Well, damn, that scares me.
My son the other day, we went in there. He'd been bawling for like an hour because we're just trying to get him to train to sleep at night without us.
Okay, sorry.
Bawling.
I thought you were using one of those colloquialisms.
No, he was crying. Finally,
he's
went in like
out of control,
okay,
son.
The thing was, I needed to get in there. Like, I needed to wash some clothes for the next day, and I'm like, we had forgotten to pull them out, so I went in there and okay. And I went and checked up, and he was all wet. And then I was like, stink. I realized he had cried so hard he threw up at some point.
Holy shit!
And it was just all over.
Wow.
This crib, and I'm like, oh, now this is why he kept crying, because he was like,
just covered in his own shit.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, feel bad.
What a horrible parent. Terrible.
He'll write about it in his book, I'm sure. If you get night terrors, I got to fix for night terrors. That is very unlikely.
What? I have night terrors. No,
Night terrors are disconcerting because, like, the kids' eyes are wide awake and they're looking right at you, like,
but
with this
still
big stare. And they're screaming like bloody murder. Oh, and they don't see you. They're out. They're still asleep. But they're like this. So... just about almost every night this was happening, and it's if the air gets a little too stifly, you know, like there's too much stuff, you know, so you wait till they go into their like deep sleep. You grab some ice cold washcloth, put it on the bottom of their feet until you see them kind of like jerk, and then that's it. It like resets their thermostat, and she never had the problem again.
Crazy.
But it is because you're talking to them. You're like, you know, you're trying to console them. Yeah. And they're not conscious.
Damn.
But their eyes, but they're like looking at you. These crazy, crazy, like
that's crazy. Like crazy what girlfriend was it? Eyes. Sleepwalk with me, where where you jumped out the third story window.
Oh.
Or second story.
Verbigula.
Yeah, Verbigula. Holy shit!
What a storyteller.
Man. Oh, it's wild to me.
I would I have no problem putting. I was thinking I should start recording my son.
Yeah,
screaming.
You can sell it.
And then when he's 13.
Yeah,
that's how I'm waking him up every morning.
There you go. Make it as alarm clock. Yep, exactly. Get your ass up.
This is what I had to deal with.
Exactly. We're training today.
Too many years.
Make it a ringtone.
Mm-hmm.
His ringtone. When he gets his phone.
Yeah.
This is what I hear every time you call.
God. We got a random question for you guys. 2018 so far, what's the best movie, or what are the 3 best movies you've seen?
In a theater?
This year.
Or on the TVs or on the
TV
interwebs?
Or...
Does that have to be a new film?
I would say yeah. Let's see. Something that came out this year.
No, came out. Good question.
I mean, I do think Infinity Wars was really good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you seen any of the Marvel movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm blown away by the fact that they keep canon.
Yeah.
Like, they keep canon. Mm-hmm. We've announced 340 projects, right. And now with the introduction of the Star Wars universe into it, because they're using the Patton Oswalt model. You know? But, like, I mean, the fact that, like, all the series, like, everything connects.
Yeah. The only thing that I think they messed up on was Spider-Man, right? With the timeline on that. I guess they messed up with the year that it showed because it overlapped with something else, but other than that, they said and it's not even really, it's like Sony.
But mapping out story like that is just god, like they have a department that is for
dedicated.
Isn't that crazy?
Well,
that's what you have to do, right?
And they're like 15 years out.
Okay, hold on. Can you imagine if that's your job, though? Your whole job is just to keep continuity.
Imagine if you screw up something, though. It becomes canon. Once it happens, it's canon.
Yeah.
Once you, like, but working in the department, like, it's your love. You know, and you're like, I go to work every day, and I make sure the Marvel Universe has continuity.
Right, and make sure this doesn't overlap with this. And, God, you're looking
over
everything.
What happens for that, you know, that weird licensed, you know, the tailor, you know, some weird, you know, fifth-rate comic book character that's only being released in Belarus, you know, and
What I want to know what the interview process was like for that person, though.
Yeah. They're
like, you know, like everyone who came in had to say.
Probably a librarian or something. Probably. That would make sense. The comic end.
But then they say something. You say something wrong to them on purpose, and they go, well, actually.
Yeah. Oh, they would definitely have to be on the spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a little bit of Asperger's with that. Yeah.
They just went to Asperger like meetings. They went to meetings to
find Rain Man.
We're like, that guy's really anal. You want a job with Marvel?
So you present like that. Okay, yeah. 10 minutes told.
Do you go on dates? Not really. You know what? You might be a great candidate.
Yeah, you're good.
Girls into comics now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you go to Comic Con.
Doesn't seems mean like. Date just because you're a woman.
Comic Con. Let me rock you. Comic Con. Hey, now there's
Tucker Con.
For those of you showing your age, you guys are like
I know, Sean.
34. Tucker Con.
I'm 44. 44?
I'm older than all of you. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, you're still you're younger at heart though.
Yeah, we're actually, jaded I had congestive heart failure. You know? For real. Yeah. Holy shit. I'm on pills and shit. Yeah,
man. Yeah, so, it's awesome. So not really, Manny. Mm. So good job, ass.
Sorry. Let me go fuck myself.
Out of what?
I don't know.
Sorry. That's...
H3, are you still doing your song a week?
I have not done song a week in a while. I did that for like 4 years straight.
He was producing a brand new song every week.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Writing, okay. Recording, and posting a song a week.
Damn.
I'm thinking about starting it again, but I decided to, you know, try doing narrative writing.
Right.
What the hell is that? That's what old people... Oh, sweet. my entire house is all Alexa'd.
No, oh, me too.
Sweet. Yeah, like all the...
I just got the show last night.
I got the show. We can call each other. Woo!
Do you have all lights of color in
those? No. So
I say colored lights because, you know...
African-American lights.
but what about the pink and the red and the yellow and the blue?
So I have... let's see. I have the... What's the tower?
Echo.
I have the Echo. I have a dot, and then I have the show. I feel like I'm missing one. The little circle.
But they have the.
But you have appliances like. So
cool. Oh yeah, so I have the lights. Well, that's about it. So yeah, just the lights. So
because you know what I don't like is being right next to the light.
Yeah.
And having to go Alexa, turn off light.
Yeah.
And like, and also then it doesn't hear you because the fan's on.
He's right.
And I'm like, Alexa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you use
the phone app.
Yeah.
Like, if you're on the phone. If I'm on my phone.
You don't have your phone always on you at all times?
Dude, you know what? I think there's one thing I like about... I do.
In the bathroom.
One thing I like about soccer.
Yeah.
I can't have my phone out there. Like,
tell
Ray Cloud
to water zone 2 for 20 minutes.
Oh, look at that.
And right now, my roses are getting watered.
Welcome to the
minutes.
Future. That's some shit. Yeah. Oh,
you know
what's
kind of cool? I learned I can drop in. They have a drop-in
feature. Oh, yeah.
And so from... Like I can...
work at the NSA.
I called my wife and she didn't answer the phone.
Right. Oh, she could drop in and see what she's doing.
I'm like, no, but it was a legitimate. I knew the kids were there and I was like, I need to know if I need to stop and get something at the store.
So have you started angling for wife 3?
No. But she doesn't carry her phone around like other people, normal people.
That's how mine is.
It's like, I'm like, it could be in the bedroom. She doesn't hear it.
That's why I'm like, I will never make you my emergency contact.
Right. Tag him.
Yeah.
Don't you have the subcutaneous tag?
So what I did was I was like, I know the kids are there and everything. So I just said, like, I tried doing the drop-in to see how it worked.
Right.
I think it's fuzzy at first unless they come to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it blocks it so you don't catch them, like, naked or something.
Well, that's
the
thing I was worried about. I was like, could Silas just drop in on me while I'm in the kitchen?
We should try it to see I call you, how it works.
Yeah.
Because I think you have to walk up to it. For it to show video.
Let's try it today.
Yeah, see, I've only got the dot.
Yeah, the show's...
The dot's
The
legit,
show's
though.
Neat. Like, it's got, like, so you can see lyrics. And actually, I put it in my put it in my newsletter for coming out Monday. Yeah. So, that'll
pick
be...
Pick that up.
A newsletter?
I do a monthly newsletter.
Like, you mail it out? Like, snail mail?
Yeah.
Like a real newsletter?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Put me on that list. That's awesome. I love
everything.
Paper shit is great to get.
Right?
And I don't... it's like, you know, technically it's real estate as far as the IRS is concerned. But, like, it's really... Like, I don't really talk about real estate in it. I just kind of talk about things
but
in my life.
But real estate, though.
It's true.
It's a Zen thing.
Right?
No. I mean...
if you want to write it off.
But sometimes I like... People are like, oh, yeah, I get your real estate. They don't read it. And I'm like, I don't even talk about real estate in it. I mean,
talk about everything and...
Yeah, like devices that I use. I like to recommend things that I've been using.
There's a centerfold every month.
Yeah. Right. Like I pick a different position.
No, two-bedroom, two-bath fixer-upper.
Yeah, but I'm naked in it. Yeah. I'm lying, like... They're like, why are you? Why, that's my house, and why were you in there?
I am
it's
excited.
Not, it's not even for sale.
Does Amazon have a fridge yet, or is that just Samsung?
I think just Samsung. I want that fridge.
Yeah,
the one where you tap it, and the lights, like you can see inside.
Oh yeah,
what's inside?
Isn't there one that and has a smart screen?
Yeah. No, several of that. But you can also go to your house, or like you're at the supermarket.
You can see
and like, what do I have milk? And you can look at the little cameras in the.
Why would you want to look at the picture when you can just have an inventory of what's in your?
Like that's actually
You UCP everything or UPC everything.
I'm not going to scan everything going.
No, when you put it in, it just does it.
It does it automatically.
Oh yeah, that's automatically. Cool.
Then. Like do they have that?
Or once again, that's why you have to. That's why you have domestic help.
Right.
At Amazon, that store that employees can use.
Not all human trafficking is for sex trafficking, you know? Sometimes you need to have someone clean the house.
You walk in. You walk in at the Amazon store downtown Seattle. The employees just walk in, grab things.
That's right.
And
I've done it.
You've done it?
Yeah. So.
Oh, is it open to everyone now?
Yeah, it's been open to everybody. We went in like the first day.
Oh, I thought it was employee only.
So.
I tried doing that at Safeway, but it didn't work out. They chased me.
You just have to have the app. So when you go in, they literally hand you a bag. We literally just put our stuff in and walked out, and then it rang it all up later.
As a black man, that makes me really nervous.
Dude, I was like, this is weird.
Well, this is a setup.
It's all RFID.
Exactly.
And
could you imagine, though, like, is it of some white dude that was following you? And then tackles you outside the store like, this guy stole stuff! This guy sold stuff! And you're like,
that's not realistic. He's going to be able to catch you.
Right? I have fast twitch muscles. Come on.
Come on. If we're going to stay stereotypical, stay true to the stereotype.
After he shoots you with his paper gun.
There you go.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. No, but it's amazing to me where the future's headed, you know, as far as technology, if we don't ruin the world first. You know?
Yeah.
And so, but pretty cool.
If we can... You know, I am glad Elon Musk is potentially, I'd say...
Our savior?
Yeah.
I think it was something like 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. I remember I was meeting this old friend of mine that was from Chico. She was living in Olympia, and I went and met her husband, and we were...
Chico,
not California.
Not the store.
No.
California. Okay, because that's a whole different...
I remember saying, like, what we need is the Bill Gates, but for environmentalism.
Yes.
Like, we need someone who could figure out a way to profit off of making things environmentally friendly. And I think Elon's the closest we've got.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to get us off this rock. I mean...
I hope so.
You know, I have a stupid theory.
We're into theories here.
Yeah.
No, this is what I like to call grinding halt the show's momentum. Oh, no. A theory that before humankind as we knew it,
mm-hmm.
I think there was a super advanced, you know, culture mm-hmm. that blew everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was the moon.
We're going to blow up the moon.
It was the moon.
No. They blow up everything. And like a few people survived this cataclysm
right.
with super high technology. So cavemen are coming back. It's like, okay, so you come back. You're totally going to be revered as a god.
Right.
You're going to be able to heal people. You're going to have a super long life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try to give them advice not to repeat the same mistake. So don't do this. Don't eat that. Da-da-da-da-da. Worship me and only me, because you know that kind of power would be completely ego-driving.
Oh,
and you'd be banging all the hot, you know, cave girls and stuff. And, like, you know, there you go. And you have that with confirmation bias and with ignorance bias, and there's religion. And everyone thinks, you know, yeah.
There you go. You know, so there was a guy who worked for the CIA. God, what is his name?
What did he do for the CIA?
He was part of this program called Stargate. So, not the movie, but it was...
You mean the Men of Scared Stare Goats? Part of the MK Ultra? It was an offshoot of MK Ultra and paper and Artichoke?
Was it the ones who...
Astral Projection?
Yeah. So, all that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
All part of Artichoke.
Yeah. So, that guy, Joseph McMonagle, he was like one of their number one guys. And he said that he had this, I don't know, this vision of Mars. And he said that there was life. They were a little bit taller than us. There's pyramids. He said that there was a few people left. Some people went looking for another planet.
M-class planet.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so, apparently we were from, I guess we're all around. He thinks that there's on the opposite side of the Milky Way, there's another civilization, but they won't even deal with us because they think we're very primal. Exactly. They don't understand why we don't have, or why we use nuclear weapons. So, I mean, it's interesting.
A story idea. Now I'm thinking, like, what if the moon
right
used to be like Endor?
Oh, there you
like
go.
It was a lush paradise.
Right.
And someone fucked it up. And that's why we had to escape to Earth.
What there if there's an explosion that knocks the moon out of orbit and there's a small station? Wait, that's Space 1999. You remember Space 1999?
I remember the name.
Martin Landau was the star.
What was the plot of it?
There was a space station on the moon. Okay. There's an explosion. It blows the moon out of orbit. So it's basically, you know, whatever the one with the chick from not Buckaroo.
Wait, the whole moon?
Yeah, the whole moon.
Was just flying through space.
It's the 70s. It's not like science was a thing.
You know? I think we knew about the moon.
Yeah, but...
was there an Earth?
Yeah, yeah.
So it would have destroyed Earth.
This explosion blows the moon off.
Which would destroy Earth.
No, it would just flood the Earth and mess it up a whole bunch.
Did it crash into Earth?
No. So Space 1999, they're on the space station on the moon, and they're just kind of going through space. So it's like...
Oh, okay.
Mainway. What was the...
It's kind of like its own Death Star.
Mainway.
Janeway?
Yeah, Janeway. Whatever.
Voyager.
Thank you. What's that actress's name?
Kathleen...
No, that's a stand-up comic from the Midwest that you're thinking of. Kathleen Madigan or whatever?
It's
Kathleen Madigan.
Madigan, thank you. That's also a military hospital.
Yeah,
in Olympia at Fort Lewis.
Janeway.
Yeah, so anyway, she was also in a movie with Fred Ward with super racist, the guy from Cabaret. God damn, my brain just... Joel Grey. Joel Grey plays a Korean. Plays...
Kate Mulgrew, by the way.
Thank you. But what was the name of the movie? He plays like the super assassin.
Can you pull up her IMDb real quick?
And Wilford Brimley's in it. And the guy from...
Wilford Brimley?
Yeah, and I want to say the guy from... Not from Shaft. Maybe from Shaft. Former football player.
Jim Brown?
No, that's not him. No.
Not Isaac Hayes.
God, I can't believe I...
But, you know, I remember Kate Mulgrew was on Cheers.
Oh my God! I just saw
Sam Malone's girlfriend. It was a.
I just saw a MASH episode with Dice.
Oh,
playing like a stupid soldier.
Wow,
who was like all afraid to go fight. And I was just like, that looks like it. Kind of looks like
Remo Williams.
Thank you. Yes. Remo did you ever see Remo Williams?
I did, but that's oh my God. That one was on HBO.
Chun was his name. He played this Korean like Yoda character.
Oh, okay. Did you,
it's like everything is. He thinks that Koreans are the most are the superior race on the planet,
right?
And Kate Mulgrew's character is she's a goody two shoes army colonel, and she's like yelling at him, and he's like this pressure point thing like causes instant orgasm, and she just goes passes out. It's like I am Chun. You can run on water. Stuff.
Oh shit, that's hilarious.
It's Joel Grey. So I'm just thinking, wow, you like. 3 nights ago, you're like, welcome, bienvenue.
Right.
She did 3 episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
No joke.
She was the voice of the Red Claw.
Wow.
Now I'm just on this like...
Red Claw, is that like a lobster?
She was in Roots the Gift.
Wow. It's amazing to look at somebody's IMDb and just
Roots
like...
Roots the Gift?
Yeah, it was a 88...
A spinoff
like,
or a...
Yeah, it was a holiday special.
Are you kidding? It was. Roots?
Yeah. Shit. You don't remember that?
No.
Yeah, no, it took place. I remember watching it.
God.
It was actually good. No, it was about Christmas and it was
Hi,
like
everybody.
The most special. He saved Kwanzaa. Toby saved Kunta Kinte. I saved Kwanzaa.
I saved Christmas, motherfucker. Like I saved Kwanzaa.
With special guests R2-D2 and Samuel L. Jackson.
For real.
Droids on a plane, motherfucker. I've come to the conclusion that Samuel L. Jackson is the American Michael Caine.
He really is.
He just does not say no to a lot of stuff.
Right?
And he's a pretty good golfer. So,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
Well, yeah, so it's a... Roots the Gift took place between episode 2 and 3.
Wait, the Gimp or the Gift?
The Gift.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, he was a Gimp, but...
Hey, hobbling
Achilles.
So it's about, like, it takes place on Christmas Eve.
Right.
And some runaway slave... They run into, like, the Underground Railroad doing a thing. And they... You know, Kunta was trying to, always wants to leave. And so he was like, this is what I'm going to do. But then near the end of the episode, spoiler alert, when he's going to escape, there's a problem. And the only way to make sure that they make it to freedom is for Fiddler and him to not go.
So they have to stay Fiddler? Behind.
That was the okay. His right. friend.
It's been Wait, that was the Jewish guy on the roof.
No, that was Lou. Lou Gossett Jr.
Okay, so
Wait,
yeah,
so
yeah.
the guy from Iron Aces?
Yeah. God, I haven't seen that movie in forever. What? That was a great
the
movie.
The guy from...
Lou Gossett Jr. was...
The guy from An Officer and a Gentleman?
Yeah. He was in Roots. He was Fiddler.
The guy from The Substitute?
He was in everything, wasn't he?
Lou Gossett Jr., yeah. That's how I first knew him, was from Roots.
From Roots, yeah. Man.
Iron Aces.
Everybody was in Roots.
Well, every black person in Hollywood had to be.
They were like, yeah, that's true. Was Ben Vereen? Ben Vereen was in there? No.
Ben Vereen.
Yeah. That was a talent. Leslie Uggams.
Right.
They had the dad from Good Times, but that's they right. should have got JJ.
John Amos.
I'm going to get...
who also played the heavy, the major in Die Hard 2.
Oh, yeah. God.
Go pick that cotton. Yeah. Donald Mike! What?
It was funny. Me and Crystal were talking about...
Different stroke.
Yeah, we were talking about stories of like crazy holiday like travel. And I started like... just retelling the story of Die Hard 2, and she was like, "What? Oh my god, that's crazy!"
Wait, you were?
Yeah, yeah.
She wanted to know yours.
Yeah, because she was talking about like circling the airport. I was like, "Yeah, there was this night where like, I was like, there was no lights on the tarmac, awesome. And they literally had to, you know, there was gasoline coming from this plane, and you know, this guy lit it, blew up a plane, and there we had our runway.
We gotta put that in our movie.
Yeah,
and he's just like." By the way, I heard your idea for Property Brothers.
Oh, yeah, right?
Dude, why aren't you shooting that?
Yeah, that's my fault. I really...
You gotta do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna write the script.
What are you doing after this?
Nothing.
Just yes and it, maybe. Come on, you've both done improv.
Yeah.
He hasn't done improv.
Horrible improv.
I've done improv for like...
A class?
Horrible improv? You mean...
Like, in drama we did...
This was 1994 doesn't count as like... I've done improv.
This is 96 to 98, so it was like...
You know what? I'm going to go to Microsoft tomorrow and say I want a job because I did programming in 1991. I definitely made A equals one.
Hello, world.
I'm a web developer.
I've got spider jeans, so I'm a web developer. Irving Spiderman is my accountant.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, so Lou Gossett, so they let him go. And so the gift was giving them freedom.
Okay.
But it was, there was a spinoff. You know, it didn't sound as bad. Like,
was it your dad who made you watch all that?
Yes.
That's right.
Well.
What a good guy.
The original Roots. Yeah, he made me watch that. My white father.
His white father made him watch that.
Roots.
Your priest? Your cat? You're not Catholic. What?
My dad.
Oh, your dad.
Yeah, my white dad.
That's the worst sitcom ever. My white dad.
Right.
My white dad. I grew up
That's a good idea, too. My white dad.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So we lost a job, and now we've moved to the hood. So my white dad. My white dad. The neighbors like to beat him up.
Oh, man. Look.
And my mom went to Garfield, so, you know.
Is she really?
Yeah, she did. Nice. She's a bulldog.
Hell yeah.
5'1".
Man.
Badass. I don't know what set she was claiming back then, but she actually said the Chinese girl gangs were the scariest.
Really?
Yeah, Hoover Street.
You know what, though? Like, in California, I feel like it was the little Vietnamese gangs that were the scariest. Like, I was just like...
Okay, so these games that I was just doing, it was actually... this is really... It's not funny. I'm
going to laugh. No, okay, yeah.
It's all refugees from around the state from Myanmar?
Myanmar. Yeah.
I forget what it's called something else now, right?
It was
with
Burma.
Burma. Okay. So the refugees from around the state, and every year they come together and do this soccer tournament.
Yeah.
So it's really
but it's like high stakes. Neat. They're like,
They're intense. Yeah. So the bolt men, the women are super supportive.
What was the age?
They're in it to win.
Age group?
Early 20s.
Shit. Okay. Like, so it wasn't even. You. So I used to, when I was 13, I used to ref 5 to 8 or something like that. And the parents were assholes. So I can only imagine what you're going through.
They're coming from the killing fields of the soccer fields.
Exactly. Right.
Jesus Christ,
holy
man.
Shit.
Right. Yeah. So they got all the refs Vietnamese sandwiches.
I love those.
And I was like, are these? I don't think these are your country, right? Because I was like, suddenly I was like, I wanted to say, like your people make these? Like, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, because they weren't a French colony. Right. That's what makes Vietnamese sandwiches. Yeah. The baguette.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so good.
So they're doing that, and there's one of the guys there, of course, a white dude, is in back that's helping out with stuff, and he goes, yeah, so my. two of my kids, the one son, he identifies as Asian American, but right. My other one identifies as Jewish. So
what the fuck? Okay. And I was like, one's a religion, one's a nationality.
Identifies as Asian, like because I look at them,
and they both have Asian? The same mom and dad.
I don't know. It was okay. Just a weird right. Statement to walk into.
Yeah,
I was like, he identifies as. I was like, you know, it's not like male.
Yeah,
he's not transracial.
Well, you end up getting a job in Spokane.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Silas is like, I identify as Chinese, but that
I
is
I would, but I'm terrible at math.
So tell me about this. So what happened that was so bad during the soccer game?
Was it nothing. Just intense. Just intense.
The ethnic cleansing.
Right, yeah. I mean, did you give any yellow cards or any red cards?
No, not this week. I did a couple weeks ago to some freaking Boeing card? Lawyer. A yellow card at the end of a game.
Yeah.
This was an all men's
yeah.
competition, the match I was doing on these mini fields. Right. Like they were in smaller than they were supposed to be.
Right.
So it made it extra intense. And these like Boeing lawyer group or right. whatever was one team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were jerks. Every other team thought they were jerks too. Yeah. And they just didn't like some of my call at the end of the game. The guy's like, "You were a horrible ref." Jesus. And I'm like,
"Yeah,
no, 35 is a yellow.
I'm a good ref. I'm just a horrible person."
So, okay.
And I can't. You know what? The worst thing about it yeah. is, as a comic, I feel like I can have such good comebacks for these people, but I get kicked off of soccer though.
Yeah,
like you can't.
You're not in a court of law. You're allowed to have, you know, as long as it doesn't affect your call.
I feel like a fight would.
If I make a joke or mock them,
oh, it could go back to your.
Well, I could get kicked off reffing.
Oh, because you're not objective. Yeah.
Well, and I'm like, you're supposed to be professional. Take the high road. Like if they just report it, then I'm. I mean, maybe if it's a sick burn, they won't report it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, they can't say that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, or, they really got me.
I guess your word versus theirs.
He said, so you just have to have someone on your side. Yeah. I'll lie for you on the stand.
And you have your sideline.
There's no stand. It's just a reporting.
Do you have your sideline refs?
Huh? Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Depends on them.
Or so he's calling offsides.
Well, this mini one, there was no offsides because they're so small. It was 6-on-6.
It's like indoor, like that indoor soccer that they.
It was that size, but it was inside. It was outside.
Not like 11-on-11 or whatever.
No, that one wasn't. Today was. Right. Today was full field.
It's 11, right? I haven't played in forever.
11-on-11. That's Fire Island rules, right?
Well, it's football, right?
No, that's 9-on-11. What? Sorry? Pardon? What? Forget about it.
No, that was a traumatic summer. 11-on-11.
I needed the money.
Women's games, they were pretty supportive of each other. Dude. That was nice. They don't argue. Women's games.
Women are a little more brutal, though. They're more like physical.
Oh, when you get to like the women's over 40 and 50, apparently they'll just cuss refs out a lot. But menopause otherwise, like a lot of the women's games, they won't argue as much about calls.
Well,
like there'll be a couple.
Yeah. Like the thing I noticed, at least in California when I was reffing, the girls were way more physical. The guys would talk more shit. And it's like
the guys are very physical.
No, actually, sorry. I meant that the other way. So the guys were really physical. The women would talk more shit and be physical. Like it was.
I mean, there'll always be a couple. And
she's taking off her rings. She's taking off her rings
for real. Like it was. Oh god, I just remember seeing like a girl like straight up just elbow another girl in the jaw, like kick them when they're down.
Remember that video of that woman, that girl that was like pulling yanking people by the hair down and stuff.
You know, I don't know why soccer isn't. Well, I guess we got football. But I mean, like, it's so big in every other country, and it's like, I don't know.
I was talking to this Uber driver, and he was saying how, like, with the World Cup, he's like, you know, everyone watches soccer. He's from Brazil.
Right.
And he was like, everyone. There's no other sport. Like, he's like, there's a basketball team.
Race.
But nobody really watches it.
Racing is probably second. There? Like Formula One.
You know, totally.
They're insane about it. So, but football and Formula One and, like, you know, elephant polo is, I think, third.
It was funny. The funny moment today was when one team scored a goal.
Yeah.
And one of the girls, who I thought was playing another
mm-hmm.
team, maybe she was just a friend.
Yeah.
But she's on the sidelines, and she goes, "They get 3 points for that?" And I
smiled,
like,
"No. Go,
sports!" Like, "Oh, I thought you." "I thought you got three." Like, no, that's...
You know,
like that would make it. I'm sure you could.
Yeah,
but that means everything is 3 points.
You know, it's fascinating to me. I don't know if anybody's actually excited about football this year. Not like previous years. I mean,
some redneck. Like everyone's just uncomfortable.
Everybody's uncomfortable.
Happen?
Yeah, they're like, are they going to take knees? Are they going to?
Oh,
who gives a shit?
That whole thing, man. When he explained it, he was like, it wasn't anything disrespectful to the servicemen. It was like, it was...
Well, nobody's going to listen.
His explanation made total sense to me. I was like, okay, fine. Yeah. You know, who cares? Now, by the same, you know, the other side of it, if you're an employee, you kind of got to do company policy.
Right.
If you want to, especially if you're getting paid at that level of play. But still, beating them up like they did, I think was just a dick move.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if they hadn't given an air, the fire would have just gone out.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's the best way to get rid of, you know, I just ignore all problems.
Yeah.
And I find that they just go away.
Yeah.
Just bury them deep inside. It's like, whether it's, you know, football, what's, marriage,
one of my favorite, of all the songs I wrote, one of my favorites is about being dead inside and how it's a lovely thing. It's actually called Puppy Dogs. And I made a video of all puppy dogs.
That's awesome.
And I got such bad, I saw your video thumbnail, and I watched the video because I wanted to see some puppy dogs on a Monday morning, and your lyrics were so depressing. And I'm just like, good, that's exactly what I wanted.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever scored an entire movie? Or...
Yeah.
So, like, how long does that take, and what's the process?
Only short films.
Okay.
I haven't done a feature, but it depends on obviously, budget.
Right.
The musical vibe that's right. I mean, like... You go like the Theodore Shapiro route where it's all just sort of, you know, electric piano funky
kind
of stuff. Or if you're writing for an orchestra or band or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate music just sort of falls out of my head.
Okay.
Like I can sit down and write a song. If you give me a topic, I can write
get,
a song.
I love it. Oh, I should get you to do my – I want to do a series of commercials. But I want to do Real Estate the Musical. Like a bunch of little – bunch of like me trying to like – Do you think you could sell it? I know I can sell it. Just give me time.
You're going to be like the new, like, Vern Funk. Like
Vern Funk, you know.
I want to be funny.
Oh, he died of cancer.
Did he?
Not Vern, but the guy who bought
Sorry.
The thing.
Oh, God. Maybe
No.
Go to the general and save some time.
I think that's hilarious. Because, you know, cancer used to be so sad. Now it's just sort of funny. I think it's because pink is the big color with it, you know, even though that's just for breast cancer, you still associate it with cancer in general.
All cancers matter, bro.
It just makes me laugh.
Oh, man.
My dad's got cancer right now, actually.
Wait, who?
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Someone
no, actually, I'm not. Actually, no, really. I'm a cancer, I've been told.
Just in a marriage. Just
in marriage. Yeah, well, I've got two of those under my belt working on I'm thinking about number three, because three is the third type's of charm.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
What was it?
Wait, are you currently married?
No.
Okay.
Well, to my work.
Yeah.
Wow, there you go. What'd you say?
And to an Amish man. I don't know. I thought I was buying a bookcase, but apparently a nice bond you got there, English. And next thing you know. Yeah.
Man.
Yes, because some of them do wear multicolored shirts in their thing. What?
So what are you currently working on?
I just finished a screenplay for a action adventure. Ooh, okay. Check that. Action rom-com.
Okay.
I just started writing a new pilot for a kind of a procedural that'll apparently there's I go down these Google rabbit holes like everybody, and I was looking up secret government bases in Washington, and I was thinking, okay, well. Obviously, they're not that secret if they're in a listing.
Right.
But one of them is there's an organization called the Joint Personnel Recovery Agency.
Oh, shit.
Okay. They have a base in Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and they have a huge base in Airway Heights, Washington, like right outside of Spokane.
Oh.
They're one of the few people who can retask NRO satellites without asking the NRO. Like, they need a satellite. Like looking at a part of the earth, they can steer it and make that happen on their own. And they track and recover all U.S. government contractor and military personnel who get kidnapped or lost or abducted or whatever. And they go find them and get them. And they've saved like thousands of people and no one knows about them.
Wow.
Like they have their own little tactical teams that go out and just fly off somewhere and they rescue someone.
Damn.
And they also teach the SEER school, the escape and evasion school at Fairchild, but no one knows about them.
Sounds that's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Kind of. It totally could be. But so that's a procedural because like you could have a different kidnapping of the week. And they also have an army of shrinks.
Right.
That like they give therapy to like the people who they recover for like 3 years. They get them like reacclimated to society and, you know, get them all you know, fixed with their PTSD. What we should be doing with all servicemen.
But, right.
And apparently one of their doctors is in trouble because he's the guy who wrote the torture playbook for the CIA after 9/11.
Wow.
So, I mean, the show writes itself.
Yeah. So what do you get this idea for something, you write it out.
Yep.
What's your next step? You look for agents to sell it to now, for them to sell it? Or?
Well, I've spent the last few years learning how to write.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of learning the craft of it.
Manny's been learning to read, so.
Yeah, awesome. I'm almost
What's
there.
That like? Yeah. You think you're better than me because you can read?
No, I mean, just Hooked on Phonics is a great tool.
I'm hooked on heroin.
Hooked on heroin worked for me. Man.
So now, like, I don't worry about my problems.
Let me ask you this. Like, and this, I don't know, like, just getting into more script writing. Like, what is, how much could you sell a script for?
Gosh.
It's like, how much does a house cost?
Well, no, they can, I mean, it could be. The golden age of, like, you know,
yeah,
huge bidding wars, and, like, I don't think that happens anymore. I think I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can five figures. I'm guessing. Okay.
Ask Jamal.
And I'm not looking to necessarily get these things made. I just don't want to start selling them because I'm not at a point where I'm writing as prolifically as, like, when I write music. It's just so easy for me.
Right.
Like, it sounds like an asshole thing to say. I mean, and they don't all, they're not all good.
Right.
Some
right.
of them suck really bad, but I can like, sit down.
I wrote jokes easy, too.
No, you just sit down. And, I can sit down and write a song really fucking fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if someone needs music for a thing, I can generate it pretty quickly because I've done it for like 30 years. So you better be competent at something after that amount of time.
Yeah. You know, it's just fascinating. I mean, the way with the music, like Silas came up with this concept for a script and I've just been addicted to it. So I'm on the bus and I'm writing, and then my wife heard about it and she's like, God, can I help? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me ask him. And it's just,
write. I mean,
yeah.
And and so I'm so glad that he got cleared. Oh, sorry. Bam. I'm so glad he got cleared. But the whole Chris Hardwick idea of make a thing.
Mm.
He got cleared.
Yeah. He got his jobs back. Right. AMC and like,
but he hasn't like,
yeah,
recanted.
But there's a lot of people who are speaking on his behalf that he dated.
But also, the problem is I listened to his show too.
Yeah.
And stuff that she said is like, oh, he's kind of said he did that.
Like
the starfishing.
I didn't hear about this.
When you just kind of do them.
Ooh.
Without like, well, just lie there. Okay.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. That's not fun. Know,
like, I mean, and he talks about his addictions in the past, and I mean,
that's being a sad guy.
Yeah.
Granted, but I look at intent. You know.
Yeah.
You have to look at intent.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's intent, but like, I don't know. Like everything from what he said in there was nothing necessarily. Like, okay, the thing that she said about him drinking, like about him saying you can't have alcohol around me, I could see the truth on that, like how both sides could be completely, it's how you take it.
Right.
One, he was an alcoholic and doesn't want it around him. So I could see him actually saying that to somebody. We can't be in a relationship if you're going to drink.
Right.
Right. Right.
But how she took that as being
controlling,
potentially controlling, maybe not understanding on how seriously he takes it. And, you know, sometimes comics or other people just come across a little more intense than meant to.
But look at the body of, like, he's had four or five women that he's been in long-term relationships come out and say, I've never seen this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
And those are people who lived with him for years on end.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard. When someone's a power guy, it's hard for me to take that completely.
Yeah.
Because he can help their.
Yeah, but he doesn't really. I mean,
he's a power guy.
Now, sort of. Yeah. Not really, actually. Since he sold the company, he gave up a lot of that power.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
he's an influencer.
Right.
I would say he's a power guy. He can't make deals happen, or deals would happen.
Okay, based just on personal experience on what little power somebody can get as a shitty open mic producer, they can stop somebody from doing a lot of work just locally. Let alone you go to that next level.
That's when you have the hard hitting Russians in the tracksuits.
Right.
And that's like, why I date a Russian.
So I could see someone that little blocking, you know, people. But I mean, here's the thing. I wasn't going to say, like, I'm going to stop listening to Chris Hardwick because of it.
NBC wouldn't have given back his job. AMC wouldn't have given back his
job.
And the firm that they had checking him out, they'll go up your ass with a microscope.
Right. Well, the thing was, I mean, it's not like she never said he did anything that's illegal. It was just like, oh, he just sounds kind of like an asshole now. Yeah. But it's also stuff that a lot of it's stuff he's admitted to. Like he was an alcoholic abuser and he was not good to people. And he admits that.
But he didn't date her when he was an alcoholic.
Right. But his past, I mean, he talks about his past that stays with you. Some of the behavior stays with you. I just don't know any comics that have worked with him.
Okay.
That have said nice that she sound him? Yes.
So okay, that's different then. So if you have inside information that
right the people doesn't. Go well people go when people so the comics locally that have worked with him when they heard they're like yeah they could see it they're like
but,
yeah
but,
no
but was he a dick to work out. With though
huh
was he a dick to work with
from
what you've heard
I've heard he's a talent guy.
I mean, he's a talented guy.
Okay. I don't want him to hear this and be like, I don't know.
Well, no,
ban my show.
he's an okay. I think he's a stand-up with moments of funniness.
Yeah, he's a stand-up with moments. I've heard challenging things about him.
And he tries to be honest on stage.
Nobody has said you got to work with him.
Right.
There's always.
Yeah, but who's that been said about?
Manny, you have a list of people that I'm sure you don't want to mention.
Who's someone that you've been told, God, if you get a chance to work with them, do it. Like who have you heard good things about?
Because I don't Jake Johansson, Tom.
People who aren't 100. Okay,
people
who aren't 100.
Aren't 100?
Like people that are awesome to work with. Who you should?
Brian Posehn.
Yeah, he's awesome.
You can say him. Like, he's awesome. Gary Gulman.
Oh, underrated. Yeah, he's
funny, completely so. Underrated. Yeah. You know Gary Gulman?
Nice
Jewish boy from Boston.
I think so.
Greek yogurt. He used to open for Louis all the time.
Yogurt. Is that the French?
And we are going to make it with the top too small for
the
you.
The breakaway backboards at the JCC.
Yeah. There are a lot of good comics that people say you got to work with.
They're really good. Yeah.
It's been surprisingly nice. But
It's how they treat the little people is what I look at.
Yeah.
Like when I see a celebrity or somebody... And I see it firsthand, especially if they treat like service help bad, or if they're just dicks off the clock. I can't do that. Because my parents always said you give the same energy if there's one person in the audience or 50,000. Two, you're always be nice to the people you work with.
That drives me crazy in comedy when people don't go when there's there only a few people and they're like this sucks nobody's here and that's what they talk about. It's like. You're just ruining this for us.
You're getting paid to be on stage. You know, you're not digging ditches.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you guys, and I'm horrible about this. If it's half empty or it's like just a tiny ass crowd, I'm going to go out and literally be like, oh shit, sold out crowd. You know what I mean? And just like make light of it. But I'm not going to give them any less of, you know.
But yeah, a lot of people give less or they just spend so much time talking about it.
What's that?
What's it like going through life good looking?
Oh, I wish I was, man. I got to work on me.
Seriously.
Yeah, you have such a problem.
Fuck you guys.
Honestly, if I look like you, I would already be dead from AIDS.
I would have gotten AIDS twice by now. Yeah,
It's so funny.
A guy and a girl.
So I was talking to my buddy Jack about this, and it was like I was so afraid of like even asking out girls that I never took advantage of any of it. So it's like whatever.
My best friend in high school was the best looking guy on the planet. Still is. He's like just disgustingly good looking.
Right.
And I was the one with the personality. He was like, but he never closed the deal.
Yeah, seriously. And I just
you have to ask for the business.
You just summed up white privilege. Like, just because I'm white doesn't mean I don't get an advantage. Yeah, just because you're good looking. Yeah, you have an advantage going up to a girl. Just because you decide not to ask him out doesn't mean you don't have privilege.
This is so crazy. So I went to The Rock to meet up with some old friends from the bank. And this 60-year-old lady was just hitting on me ridiculously. Like just
are you
like,
ageist or something?
What was that?
Are you age? Oh, you're married.
No, yeah.
White girl?
Older white lady, 60 years old. Yeah. And she was like, oh my God, who is that? And then like just right to my face, she was like, you are gorgeous. And I was like, I look at myself in the mirror every day. I don't take myself. I'm like, I'm not a decent looking dude, but maybe that's just, I think I have image issues. Like, I don't know.
We're from California.
I just have a hard time believing you believe that.
I really.
With the amount you get flirted with.
I feel like people are just being nice. No,
why aren't they nice to me?
Do you pledge yourself to photos of yourself? That's what that's the litmus test right there.
I don't know.
Do you change your Instagram filters?
No.
See? Right there.
No. Do you use Silchar grandfathers?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, here's the one thing I wanted to ask you guys. So you guys, Instagram? You guys have both been divorced, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever have to pay child support?
I didn't have to, but I chose to.
Okay, right.
My daughter's 18 now.
Oh, okay. And you pay child support? No,
my ex does.
Okay. Oh, nice. Right, there you go. Got her.
Got her.
So, nice. Blake Griffin, who used to play for the LA Clippers, now plays for the Detroit Pistons.
Sports teams.
Yeah, basketball.
Sports.
He has to pay $258,000 month.
I saw that. Why?
That's
not child support.
That's more like, you know, like.
That's.
A really good
alimony
friend of ours,
too, right? Yeah.
A friend of my dad's, he's long dead now. He had to pay something like $6 million a month total for all of his ex-wives.
Wow.
And it got to a point where his lawyer said, look, next time you know, because he'd fall, like he'd get sprung and get married.
Right, exactly.
Like
no prenups.
Yeah, he dated like Elizabeth Taylor. Oh, like, shit. Like, this guy was a baller.
Yeah.
And he got to like, look, just go up to a girl, say, hey, if you come home and sleep with me, I'll buy you a house. It'll be way cheaper in the long run. and that was like $1980.
That's crazy.
So imagine today.
Yeah. $6 million.
But like doled out.
Oh, yeah. So yeah.
But like, how do you.
How do you even justify
afford it?
I mean, okay.
Like, how do you not.
So he makes, in all fairness, he makes $29 million a year with basketball. So I think that they said, like, percentage-wise, if he was making $50,000.
It's got to be alimony, because there has to be a cap on child
support. I don't think they were married.
Really?
Yeah,
on child support?
Yeah, I think this is just baby mama.
You're telling me if I get someone else pregnant, I might have to pay?
Like, crazy.
Wow.
So, I mean, here's what I'm looking at. It's like my buddy Brian, he commented on this. He said, let's be real. He was like, if I'm paying you $258,000, a month, we're getting back together, bitch. Like, there's no fucking way. You know what I mean? And, like, then another guy commented.
I'll give you $200,000 if we can stay together.
Right. Roger Lozola commented on it, and he was like, do you realize that his baby mama has a better contract than Isaiah Thomas right now? Like, he was like, this chick better be coming off the bench as a sixth man winning a championship for that kind of money.
Yeah, where's the ring, girl?
Right? It's crazy to me. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Your kids deserve money,
your kids deserve a limit.
Yeah,
they deserve a roof.
A roof over their head.
That's her. Who's so that? That's my daughter.
Oh,
that's
she's gorgeous.
Shut up.
That's what I have to contend with.
Oh, not.
She's going to Wazoo in a week.
Ugh.
I would die.
Couldn't you just wait? Homeschool her.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Lots How of old? She's 18. So tons of FaceTime.
Oh, right.
Dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm the parent that she tells everything to.
Right. Oh.
Wait. She's got her own websites.
Oh yeah,
what is this?
She's got like 10,000 Instagram followers.
Or,
these aren't all her, right?
No. Okay. I just did a Google search for her because I don't
know
have
your name is that common.
Radke? It's really not.
Wait, click on that.
What that?
Yeah, and I think it should take you to. Is that a website?
No, that's a photography.
Oh,
place.
Photography. Yeah. Okay.
So, but yeah, so I mean, I made sure she had stuff, and
yeah,
I mean, she lived primarily with mom, like either on Delridge or Normie Park, but went to school in Mercer Island because. Like, she went to elementary school in Alki.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's cool. She's very, her cultural thinking is very forward compared to Mercer Island.
Yeah, seriously, no shit.
Which is super racist, I hate to say. I love Mercer Island. I grew up there, second generation, but dude.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, she was pretty much colorblind and then went to Mercer Island when grades counted.
Right.
Because she didn't go to a real school, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not even like this. Like evil cast to it. It's just like this ignorant kind of cast to it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, at least when I went to school, we were still like, you know, stealing guys from Garfield and Jefferson to play basketball on the Browns team. So, but like, like 20% Asian, maybe a few East Indians, everyone else is super white.
Yeah.
And like, super.
I thought
white.
It was a Jewish island.
Oh, that.
Not anymore?
There's a lot of Jews on the island, but there's also a Jewish school.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh.
But I mean, even Bellevue College Bellevue High School got in trouble for like taking athletes.
Yeah, except like at least they were making champions.
Exactly.
And they were going to good colleges.
And they were going
if you're
going
to be racist, at least get a ring or two.
Well, you know, if they're going to be used for sport, then I don't mean, and I mean by they, I mean like athletically, there were white kids on the program
those
too.
Yeah.
But like if they're going to, you know, forsake their grades and have them go do that thing. Because what they got in trouble for was going to a private school and getting grades, you know, was it...
Were they just giving them grades?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But if they have a career path that's viable.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. When they do that with those kids, are they giving the parents jobs at like Microsoft? Is a
no, they,
and they're moving them into the
no, they there's a
or is I, there a clause that
you can no, they get them. Well, my daughter went to like a tutoring thing on her own for math.
Okay,
that got her school credit. Like she did not go to and you know it was pretty spendy, and she says she learned the material, but she ended up getting like a 4 in math, and I'm like, huh,
okay,
interesting,
4.0?
Yeah,
oh, okay. It's like, you're like, interesting. Yeah. Were you ever like, hey, can you solve this math problem?
Yeah, you know,
can you do my taxes?
Can you solve for X? Without calculus, you know. So,
she's
you know.
Like, Daddy.
So tell us about. So is she inspired? Like to what's her
musician?
What's
her... She actually. Great singer, doesn't want to sing.
Wow.
Yeah. She used to sing when she was younger. I've got a recording of her. A tune she wrote when she was like 12.
Right.
Like this cool R&B pop thing that's like, I would pick her up. I would drive, get her in West Seattle, bring her to Mercer Island.
Right.
And so I'd like play her instrumental tracks I'd done. Mm-hmm. And she would just like start making up songs that were like lyrically, like, damn.
That's awesome.
And then everything she ever auditioned for, she's been in some plays and stuff. Everything she auditioned for, she'd get whatever she was going after. She was a Seafair Junior Princess. She had an inkling to do that. Boom, got it.
Wow.
And then she's going to start doing a vlog, and something happened. Something said someone, and then she just stopped. And now she's, you know, wants to do fashion merchandising and stuff. But she gets, like, endorsements from products from her Instagram, like free products constantly.
Yeah.
Like, hey, use this thing.
She's an influencer?
Yeah.
She's an influencer.
See, you think I'm decent looking, and then I don't get anything like that. Nobody offers me.
You're not
like,
posting that. You're not
an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's true.
Although.
You're posting pictures that
it might be.
It's nothing strapless.
You know, I'll show half a nip, and then maybe I'll get something.
You with your wife's family going around on boat tours is not going to get the Instagram money.
Very true.
How'd you meet your wife?
So my wife was actually... She came into the bank, and this is kind of when I was teller/personal banker.
So retail banking.
Yeah, so I was retail banking at the time, and she came in with this fat check, and I was like, oh, shit. And then she asked for my number. I gave it to her. Later did I realize was that it was a student loan, so you had to pay that shit back. So she didn't really have money. So, but
that's like Ollie Wong.
Right?
Like, she walked in and was like, who am I going to get to pay this back?
For real.
Let's see. Eeny, meeny, moe, you.
But so we hit it off, and then bam.
How long did you work in banking?
Oh, I'm still in it.
That is another sexist example.
Right.
I just can't imagine any guy walking in and leaving with the teller's phone number.
I've done that. And I was a PB at the branch.
Oh, there you go. Hell yeah. Right. I had my fair share.
Every time I had a divorce, I'd go work for a bank to keep me from going all Ernest Hemingway.
Right. No. Right. But I mean,
and I don't mean playing around with fucked up cats. I mean blowing my brains out.
No, I'm saying like I don't think a male can go in and get a female teller's number as easy.
Oh, it's all about and looking the way I look. I mean, I was like thinner, but
are you
still
tell
looking...
me this confidence thing doesn't matter.
Well, here's another thing too. You need to make sure that your overdrafts and your NSFs aren't on there, and that you're not overdrafted.
You go up to her and you say, "Hey, excuse me, miss, does it smell like chloroform?" And
then, this guy.
Wait,
I wrote a country western song with that title.
Okay, man.
Does this smell like chloroform?
I got flirted with in a Lyft ride,
taking
someone to the bank.
Oh, okay,
and to the point, like usually I don't say, but we were talking about Star Wars.
Yeah,
like, it came up because I had my book there, which we started talking about it. And we're getting along great.
Yeah.
And if I was single, I would have been like, oh, this is a nerdy girl that I wouldn't mind talking to. And we get to the branch in Bothell, which is mine. I didn't know we were going to the bank. But it's the same U.S. bank it's not the same U.S. bank branch, but I shop at U.S. bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned I was a real estate, you know, because I tried to drop that in there and stuff. And then and she's like, you know, I don't actually start my shift for a little bit if you wanted to grab coffee or something.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, I would, but, you know, I got to go.
Meet my baby.
I said
and my
something
wife.
About my wife.
I got to go like, home my and wretch fuck my wife.
I'm like, you know what? I got to go take over. My wife has to get to work.
Yeah.
And something like that. It's like, oh, okay. Well, you know. Anyway,
so
I forget what she said, but here's the thing.
You're bellyaching.
No, but here's what I wondered about, and I forget. Yeah. Oh, but I gave her my card, like, you know, if you want to talk about you know, maybe some other time we can, you know, but I want to make sure that was out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I remember at the time, like, I was thinking I was in real estate, but I remember, like, I haven't sold a house in a while.
Yeah.
And the account was really low. And I was like, I wonder, could she have just gone in there?
Yeah.
Could she have checked out my account based off of my name?
No.
No. Yes.
Did she work for the bank?
Yeah.
She,
I mean, she could, but you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And sometimes it, like, okay, get this.
I know,
so
not supposed
to. If you look up any management.
Yeah, exactly. Fire. Or if you look at certain celebrities, you'll get.
So I wish I happened to be their PB.
Okay. Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a celebrity, though. So.
Yeah.
Could she?
Yeah, yeah.
She enough.
Well, yeah,
and they wouldn't have flagged anybody, right?
But there's like a ton of you. I mean, your name is super common.
So, yeah. Silas Lundestein, another one? What, another one?
Well, there was actually, I won't say his name on here, but I looked up a guy. Because he didn't want to give me a soch, and he's just like, can you look it up through my ID? I can't find the... So I was like, yeah, that's fine, man. And actually, there was a famous comic, same name, millions, you know what I mean? But at the time, we were on this system where it was like, it wasn't quite attached to the rest of the country. So the person was in New York. So I look him up, and then all of a sudden...
How long ago was this?
This is like 2008, maybe, 2009.
Is this a company that has its headquarters somewhere in one of the Carolinas?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice. Okay, there you go.
Your motherfucking number.
So I end up getting called into the office the next day because I just started comedy. They're like, well, we're really concerned because are you looking up comics to see how much they make? I was like, what? They're like, yeah, you looked up so-and-so. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. It's a huge misunderstanding. There was a guy who came in. As you can see, he lives in...
And,
like, yeah.
And you can see in my inquiries, I also looked up that dude. I didn't know which dude it was.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, right. Yeah.
Unless you want this to turn into like a, you know, a thing.
Right.
Drop
exactly.
This HR.
Right. Yeah. So they were like, yeah, all right, you're fine. Let you go. And I was like.
So it flagged because.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
it was
a
celebrity?
It was a celebrity name that came up. So.
But it's weird that they knew that what you like the comic part of it. That's someone's gunning for you.
Exactly.
That someone's being a dick.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I had.
Well, but it was the celebrity a comic?
Yeah.
No, so the person who came in wasn't.
Was
but
a schmo with the same name.
With the same exact name as the person.
But pulling a celebrity's name, okay, that's one thing. And there's a list of names that'll flag.
Right.
But the fact that they knew you were in comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they told everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they it wouldn't have gone to the top. Like
yeah,
that,
or yeah. North. Oh. And the IT guys are busy at home playing World of Warcraft,
some shit. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's someone had it out for you.
Oh yeah,
so that's where you say, look, I'd appreciate if you and stop using those racial epithets with me.
So a buddy of mine was saying, he was like, you got to try this just on stage once. If you have a heckler in the corner, and you just want to shut him up, please do this. He was like. Just out of nowhere, turn and be like, dude, did you just call me the N-word? What the fuck? Just see what happens.
Neighbor?
Yeah, yeah. Ah, there you go.
Yeah, I do my research.
Right? That would be hilarious. I just want to see what happens and just like look at somebody. Did you hear that shit? And so, that'd be fun.
Wait, you just call me. I'm not even Mexican,
I'm not even Mexican, motherfucker. So.
Para raza.
That's.
How's your Spanish? You don't speak Spanish, do you?
Muy poquito.
French?
But I don't speak Spanish, but when I go up to, if I'm in the line at the bank for the Spanish speaker, I get up there and they start speaking Spanish to me.
Funny. I can see that a little bit.
You do sort of look like you've got kind of Ecuadorian thing going on.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Or Dominican or something. Yeah.
Sounds insulting.
Yeah, but, you'd have to gain a little more weight to be
you
Dominican.
Too. Whatever, Norwegian.
And he doesn't look like a baseball player.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Baseball.
Baseball is my favorite.
Being very, very good. Very.
Baseball is my favorite sport.
To my family.
I love it with some pasta. I love some. I love a burrito.
No, he's got it's all Dominican food to his name. It's so funny. Oh,
I
man.
Love my cabbage. I love me cabbage too with the funny. Sauerkraut.
That keeps you from getting the scurvy.
The scurvy. You get the scurvy from the cabbage.
Hey,
without the cabbage,
you're right.
You get the scurvy.
Hey, TB isn't contagious, is it?
I feel like it is. Oh, gosh.
Doing that
all right. Hey, we're about out of time here. Before you get into another
Eddie Murphy's
long
mom
tangent.
And TB.
So.
By the way, I totally agree with you on the second film. Unwatchable. Rod's still funny.
What?
Second concert film was just
awful. It was awful.
Which one? Who?
Eddie Murphy.
Delirious.
Raw?
Or Raw, I mean. Delirious.
Raw was unwatchable?
First one was Raw, right?
No, Delirious. Delirious. First one's watchable. Second one, not so much.
Yeah. What? They're both good. Raw and Delirious.
Go back and watch it. Yeah. Go back and watch
well,
it.
Well, not
the,
now.
The
now
blue,
they're
the
horrible.
Blue suit, the blue suit sucks. The
blue
red
suit,
good.
Yeah. Even the way he ended, it wasn't strong. So, I just saw it recently. Yeah, I was like,
it made me feel bad.
And I had to eat, and I had to eat Legos. And da, da, da. I was just like, what the fuck?
You see Jim Jeffries' bit about doing...
is it on his new special?
Yeah.
Oh no, I haven't seen it yet.
Holy shit!
Is it good?
So funny,
man.
Yeah, he's drinking again, so so the magic is back.
Even better.
He was sober for a while. It was just very boring.
Oh yeah, you need that.
Is it wrong? A guy who cheated with my ex, my first wife.
Right.
I got him to relapse. Is that wrong?
That's awesome.
Seriously, that's like he went down. Cheers he went that. Down a rabbit hole for like 5
just
years.
Just leave some heroin around the house.
Actually, it was ecstasy, but ecstasy? It was still awesome. And it was in LA. It's like, good times.
So what projects you got coming up next?
I'm writing this thing. Okay. I've got a couple live shows, but they're corporate things.
Okay.
Because I'm a whore.
I'm right there with you. Good money.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to try to get this thing sold. The thing I just finished, I had someone very specific in mind for the lead, so I'm going to start camping out on their doorstep. Oh, yeah. And
where can people check out your songs, your former songs of the week?
Oh, they can go to hbradke.bandcamp.com.
Okay. Ooh, Bandcamp.
Bandcamp's free. I also have stuff on a bunch of those songs are on Apple Music, you know,
iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes but the Apple Music, like they stream.
Okay,
that way he doesn't get too much money from it.
Yeah. Sure. I don't like to get.
Don't buy it.
Yeah. You can listen to it for free. No, seriously, some of it you should pay for.
Yeah,
honestly. And then I've got a couple short films up on YouTube just under my name.
Oh, cool.
I wrote a horror film about a serial killing pug that kills like 3 families without opposable thumbs.
Was that a 48 hour?
No. Okay. But it was pretty bad. It was my first directing thing. And then I wrote a short film about a guy who falls in love with a car.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Christine?
No.
Herbie? Goes Bananas? You wrote that?
No, it's a Mercedes. It's actually pretty funny. I thought I sent it to you. Maybe I didn't.
Maybe.
Well, we would love for you to score Property Brothers.
Well, yeah, so. Let's get on
that. Let's make that shit happen.
I'm free tomorrow.
I'm free every day because I have babies.
There you go.
That's it.
Yep. That's my life. Now.
You never know when you might need a kidney.
Very true. Very true.
So I got to raise. Oh, I have a farm right there.
Yeah, you have a farm.
I have kids with kidneys for sale. If anyone is looking.
Silas just wakes up in a tub of ice.
Well, what the hell is this?
Again.
Right.
I knew I shouldn't
do Venture Brothers this Sunday, if you're into the Venture Brothers.
Okay. What?
The Venture Brothers.
Adventure Brothers?
No, Venture.
Venture.
Brothers.
Venture
you
Brothers?
You don't know the Venture Brothers?
No.
Okay, when we're done, I got to tell you, I got to hit you to something.
Okay.
Change your life.
All right. We'll do that.
Scientology.
Like Scientology. All right.
But not Scientology.
But less Tom Cruise-y.
Bless his heart.
Oh,
bless him.
He does his own stunts, though. So
yeah, he got to.
And he's 56 and looks great on screen. So
seriously, holy shit.
He's a guy I can separate the guy from the work.
Yeah.
Know? I'll go see anything he's in.
Yeah. There you go. Well, it's been another episode.
All right, Black and a Half.
Black and a Half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.